Comedy live from my apartment. It's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who is ready to stir the pot tonight. I am Rob Cisternino. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Rob Has a Podcast. Ready to go. Very excited for our Monday night recap. The one night a week when I get to talk about some bit. Well, I could talk about it any night, I guess I want, but this is the only night that I have people to talk to me about it. And here we are. First, let me introduce a man that I haven't podcast with. I think it's been 2 weeks since I caught up with this man, Brent Wagamon. Brent, how are you?
I'm doing great, Rob. It's great to talk to you about Big Brother Canada. I don't get to talk to you that often, as you mentioned, anymore. But honestly, I haven't been on the morning updates either because I like my sleep. So I haven't been talking to many people about Big Brother Canada lately.
Yes, I did like it recently when you said that you didn't understand what the fuss is about Derek. But you wouldn't kick him out of bed.
Exactly. I think that's a general application to many guys.
Yes, I like that. I like that analysis. Okay. All right. And now I'm very excited to talk with this person, but not as excited as I would have been to be podcasting about this person. Our angel. Please welcome Kirsten McInnes. Kirsten, how are you?
Hello. I've really been looking forward to sitting down and talking about my favorite show, Big Brother Canada.
Yes. Okay. So happy to have you here with us. And look, we have a lot of stuff to talk to you about. And of course, we are looking forward to hearing your thoughts on everything going on. We are live right now. Scott St. Pierre is standing by. Hashtag RHAP. Ready to go, taking your questions. You can also post your questions in the chat room as well here on a Monday night. After Brent, I thought this was a pretty exciting episode. We saw some game tonight.
Yeah, we saw some game. Definitely. It's a fun cast, a very fluid cast. I have said over and over again that it's a little complicated for me to follow because everybody is constantly locking and interlocking with their relationships. Taryn finds that very illuminating. I find it somewhat complicated because, as I have mentioned before, that I like my Big Brother a little simpler. However, I can appreciate interestingness, I guess what I would say, insofar as the caste relationships, building bonds, the social currency in the house currently, and who's able to use it effectively and who's not.
Okay. Kirsten, so let us know. Give us the update. What have the last couple of weeks been like for you? Obviously, you were prepared. You're ready to go in. And then you get the biggest blind side of all. And then here you are on the outside looking in.
It's just so surreal and crazy. Like, sometimes I just can't even believe it really happened. Like, I'm just back at work now. So weird. But honestly, like, it's a little bit easier to stomach because it is actually so entertaining and such a good season. And it's hard because I feel like I can see where I would have room to maneuver with these people. But sign up for Big Brother, sometimes you get screwed by a twist. Sometimes before you even get to go into the house.
Yes, sometimes. Sometimes. So as you're watching along with the rest of us, where is it that you feel like that you would have seen yourself fitting in this house?
I really overall love all of the women on this cast. I feel like Maddie would have been my ride or die. And I think that she could really use someone like me in the game. So it's hard to watch her have some trouble. Cause I think it could have been, you know, a little bit more balanced. And I have talked a little bit with the girl who's running her social media account, and we have very similar personalities. So I know we will get along great.
Well, I actually think that you and Maddie, I feel like when we go back to, you know, I think the big question we've all asked is like, why didn't they just put Kirsten in the house in the first place? That I feel like that casting felt like that you and Maddie were going for the same spot.
I mean, it's possible, but at the end of the day, it's what casting decides and what their whole puzzle is, right? Like, I don't, like, we're similar, but I don't know that we're really that similar that we take the same.
Yeah, off. No, I can't co-sign that. I think that Kirsten has a lot more fire than Maddie. Maddie's fire in the diary room,
she's
insofar
hell,
as, you
of
know.
Of course.
I know.
I'm literally Satan, Brent, okay?
Well, I know that, but beyond that, well, you know, Veronica was an angel, and we've seen how that worked out, so I don't know that that has much application. I'm just saying that I feel like that, honestly, Maddie is more beta, and you're more alpha, and that's where the difference is.
I would describe myself as an alpha, yeah.
Okay. All right. But would you have been able to hold that back in this house, Kirsten?
Well, I mean, I spend my whole life holding that back, right? Like, everything is kind of Big Brother a little bit. Work is Big Brother. Social relationships in general are Big Brother. And my thing is, I always want to rush in, but I make myself wait a second and see, like, what's going on. I mean, sometimes it doesn't work and I rush in anyways, but that was always the big risk, right?
Mm-hmm. All right, well, let's start to get your take as we talk through everything going on in this episode. And of course, such a big focus is on this Hinky vote tonight. And now, Brent, the one thing that I didn't get clear to me was, did Veronica talk about that at all before she did it? Was there any sort of, was there any premeditation, or she just went out there and put that vote out there?
Insofar as casting specifically a Hinky vote, no. Veronica was open to keeping Jesse last week and was the people amenable to that if there were numbers there. However, she wasn't going to stick her neck out if she didn't find any support for that. She was also going back and forth insofar as, you know, is it better to make a move with Jesse or Olivia? Ultimately, I don't think anyone predicted this. I was unsure of where it was coming from when she did cast the vote. I was like, is there a plan in place that's developed since the feeds went down and they're trying to keep Jesse? But then when I saw Kayla's vote, I was like, no. And then I was like, is she trying to blame it on Kayla? Is that the intent of this vote? Is she trying to make it look like Derek and Kayla were the ones who voted to keep Jesse? Because they were the ones who, at least at the beginning of the week, definitely did not want him to go.
Yeah. Okay. So we get the HOH competition playing out, but things just go back to that Hinky vote all throughout the night. Kirsten, what's your feeling in general on the Hinky vote?
I feel like it's just like an OTT when we were so excited when Alex Lilith wrote the Hinky vote. And then it's like, actually, it's not a good idea. But I was absolutely dying when everyone's freaking out and Veronica's like taking the lead. I'm like, this is so sketchy. Someone did this. And I'm like, stop drawing so much attention to it. Like, it was you. Stop.
Yeah. Yeah. What is the right way to play that?
I mean, I think just don't, like, she was in a good spot. Don't do the Hinky vote. Don't jeopardize yourself. Sorry, my
look, she's not a good liar. That's the problem. She's not a good liar. And I bought stock in Veronica last week on the LFC stock watch because I was very much enjoying her sort of messiness about her game. It had a lot of firecracker to it. Okay. But along with that comes some mistakes, and this was definitely a mistake. She is not the kind of person who can stand in a room of 13 other people knowing that she's guilty and not look guilty. She just, it was very apparent quickly that it was Veronica, and other people were very good about denying that it was them, and she wasn't. She even sort of allowed for it to, like, well, I know I was open to keeping Jesse. Well, she needed to pick a path. That's the problem. She needed to pick a narrative. Like, it definitely wasn't me. Absolutely not. Or, you know, yeah, it was me, and here's why I wanted to give him a sympathy vote, because I knew everyone else was voting to evict him, and he's not on the jury, so why the hell does it matter? That's what she should have said, but she wanted to cause some chaos, and it blew up in her face.
Well, Carson, let me ask you, in terms of somebody who is put in this situation where now you're coming in, it's by a vote that it's supposedly that the country is counting on you. Do you feel like that she feels like extra pressure to create extra drama in the house because she's been put in this situation where she's voted in?
I mean, I feel like we would have seen more proof of that earlier if that was the case. I mean, she certainly might. I know that I wouldn't really have taken that into consideration. But at the same time, like, she doesn't watch the show. She doesn't know what the like fan base is rooting for. She doesn't know kind of how it works. And that's sometimes really entertaining to watch, and sometimes it just kind of flops a little bit, and the Hinky vote just is flopped.
Yeah, Rob, the problem was that her and Will have a vast overestimation of how well they're playing the game right now and their current place in the house, and they were somewhat complacent last week. I mean, there was definitely a big move to take out Jesse, but then other people, specifically Kayla, in my estimation, and Allie, were able to quickly move on from that and form bonds to protect them in the coming weeks. And I do feel like that Veronica and Will sort of rested on their laurels, like, okay, we got to get Jesse out. Okay, you did that. Now what? What is your relationship like in the house? How well are you playing the game? Even before, people were laughing at me about believing in Veronica because she lies to everybody and is not very good at it. And I realized she wasn't good at it, but I was sort of entertained by that. And I just... basically I got my hands caught in the cookie jar trying to buy some Veronica stock. So.
I love you just defending your like reasons for buying stock.
Well, you know, I mean, she's a messy player. Look, I'm gonna be the real tea. She's a messy bitch. Honestly, that's how I see her. She's messy, and I like that on a TV show. But you've got to have some game wherewithal within you. And it's evaporated this week. I did not see the Hinky boat coming, Rob. I was stunned by that.
Okay. Well, it happened, and we got to see that conversation in the red room. Everybody's talking about it. It's in the rest of the house, it was spilling over also that we saw Ryan accusing Kayla, and they're having that conversation about who actually could have done it. But Veronica, it was like dancing by herself. She was so proud that she was stirring the pot, Kirsten.
Well, and I mean, if that's your goal, then it's really exciting when you cause that drama, but you need to have a plan of what you're going to do once the pot's been stirred. And she just had no plan. And her and Will have completely underestimated how much social capital they wasted getting Jesse out last week.
Yeah. Brent, was Derek stirring the pot with his tiebreak vote in the HOH competition?
Yeah, I mean, I think he even owned that in the episode.
That was like, adorable.
The idiot up there who writes for... There was a guy on The Price is Right, Rob, who bid $4.20 over and over again. Have you seen this guy? No, for real, I'm not kidding. He's on The Price is Right with Bob Barker, and six straight times he bids $4.20, finally wins on the last one when everybody else overbid. So yeah, it can work sometimes.
That's the way to go. And we see Will in Paris also talking about the Hinky vote, and Will was very accusatory towards Paris, Kirsten. What's been your take on Paris this season? Have you enjoyed watching her?
I really like Paris, and I feel a lot better about her now that Jesse's gone, because I feel like that was the best possible thing that could happen to her. Like, after seeing her campaign last week for him, she was just going way, way too crazy campaigning for him, and it hurt her a little bit. So I'm really excited to see her without kind of the showman partner. Although I was sad to see Jesse go because he fought, and I respect that. But I'm excited to see where Paris goes. Like, again, I love the women on this cast for the most part. Like, mwah.
Yeah, I have to say,
love them.
So far as Paris goes, I have confidence in her game. Not extreme confidence, but I have confidence in her game. When she was throwing the HOH competition and she's, you know, basically said she's out, I had flashbacks to Matt Hoffman when he famously threw the HOH competition and then was quickly evicted that week. So I was praying that doesn't happen to her. But the one thing I do worry about with her is her social ability. She does not seem to be aware when she's yelling. This has happened multiple times with her and Will.
To her. Like, hey.
Yeah, but this is an all-time thing. She speaks loud, and she's sort of like Allie in that respect, where she's kind of like speaking a little bit loud and she's not yelling. She's just trying to accentuate what she wants to tell you because she thinks it's important. But it comes off to somebody who's, you know, jolly and easygoing like Will, that he's being like talked to like a little kid who did something wrong, and he doesn't like that.
Yeah. We saw, Brent, that Paris was then complaining to Veronica about this Hinky vote. And did Paris suspect that it was Veronica? Was she trying to get some evidence, or was Paris really snowed by what had happened?
I don't think Paris was. I don't think anybody was snowed by what happened. I think everybody quickly realized that Veronica was the most likely culprit in there. Her protestations aside, but I think Paris was annoyed that Will didn't immediately validate her. Say, okay, well, you know, I know that you're telling me the truth. He questioned her to her face, and they have been a tight threesome with him and Maddie and Paris for a while. And I feel like that some of those bonds have broken down a little bit, because there has been, obviously, Will really wanted, look, the plan to evict Jesse doesn't happen without Will, and Paris did not want him to go home. That's where their relationship started to break apart last week. And now, can they rebuild that because he's gone?
Okay. So we see Erica in her stint here as a HOH. She's going to get all of the accoutrements of being the HOH. Kirsten, do you feel like that it was a good move for Erica to go after the HOH this week?
I don't think Erica needed to win this. But like looking at the three people in that tiebreaker, it's like, who really like needed to win it? Like, I could see the argument for Derek, but it's almost better for him to kind of fade back a little bit. I think Allie doesn't need that much attention. Like, who really needed to win this HOH? Like, I honestly, I don't even know out of everyone. Like,
well, I mean, the Maddie, relationships, Yeah, the relationships are so fluid in the house that I'm not sure. I mean, I feel like everybody, no matter who wins HOH, would have a fighting chance of staying off the block. So I don't know who needed to win it. Now that she has won it, I guess, is the better question. What can she do with that? Can she improve her position in the house, Erica, I'm talking about?
Yeah. And well, she forget about improving position in the house. She gets Wendy's and gets to play catchphrase. Cursor, are you sad that you've gotten to miss out on all the Hasbro games?
Up to this point, no, but I actually love catchphrase.
I like
so
catchphrase
much
too, Brent.
Like Hasbro, holler at me. Guys, there's a mobile app of it. You don't have to buy the game. You can buy the app.
Yeah, I was having flashbacks to $25,000 Pyramid when I saw Allie. Yes, I was like, she would totally, we need to have her on to play the Pyramid with us. So she would be great.
Yeah, that would be.
Is that the next RHAP game show night?
No. We did that back in the day, we'll but, see. You know,
maybe
it's
season.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. There was a funny moment with Maddie and Olivia in the house.
Oh, my God, yes.
Where Maddie was talking about how she really wanted to win. Brent is like losing his mind.
I love Olivia.
Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead, Kirsten. Please, like, please talk about her.
Like, the only thing Olivia's done that I didn't like is when she said campaigning was tacky. I was like, fine, campaign to Canada then. But just to see her like not care at all about people's emotions, but they're like, yeah, like, it's okay to be frustrated. And she's like playing with the wall, like, who is this woman? Like, I wish I could talk about our cats with her. I feel like it's a great conversation.
You pick up your cat for Olivia to one day that she can watch this video.
I really wish that either of them was around. Here, I'll leave a bottle cap loose and one of them will run up for it and we'll get it later on the podcast. Yes.
I have to tell you that 4 weeks into the show, I finally see why Olivia's on the cast, and I'm standing Olivia. I was so here for her then, like just the eye rolls and the obvious indifference to whatever Maddie was going through. The fact that she willingly came up to her like, okay, do you want to talk about it? I have a friend who's like not that good with dealing with emotions, and he sort of like puts his wall up all the time. I feel like Olivia's kind of like that. Where
Karen?
No, it's not Taryn. Oh. But like she comes over and she's like, you know, hey, what's wrong? But she really has no interest in hearing what's wrong. She just sort of feels like she needs to do that because that's what people do in society. But I absolutely am here for Olivia. I'm really starting to enjoy her lately. I know that's almost like sacrilege to the fan base, but I like her.
Yeah,
I feel like she's just gone around so far that she's come back and it's
yes,
just pure
yeah,
gold.
She's so terrible. That's it. Exactly. She's so she's like the girl from Clueless. Like, she's just so above everybody else. Like campaigning is tacky. I don't want to listen to these people. That's what I like that. And
oh,
she's so
I
terrible.
I was going to say a virgin that can't drive.
She's right.
Yeah. So we see Erica talking with Hamza, and Hamza says, hey, why don't you put me on the block? And that really that it's a amazing strategy in that he doesn't end up going on the block. Kirsten, what have you made of Hamza so far this season?
I haven't. I don't understand at all. He's so entertaining, but it makes absolutely no sense. He has such confidence in his competition ability that he's like, just put me on the block every week. I don't want to be backdoored. It's like, he's won two competitions, but like, as Erica said, like, you never know what's going to happen. And I can't imagine sitting there and begging to go on the block. Like, it just makes no sense to me, but he's entertaining.
He's crazy like a fox, Rob. I mean, I don't know what I don't know what the end result of this is going to be, but he just continually every week, please put me up, please. Like, I beg you. No. And they're like, no, bitch, I'm not putting you up. Like, they're like, no, I'm not putting you up. No, I've never seen, like, since Dr. Will, I don't think I've ever seen someone who so actively does not care about the game. It's like, please put me up on the block. But it's sort of different with Hamza, though, because he does care about the game. But he's really not afraid of getting in there and getting dirty.
Now, do you like Hamza? Are you enjoying watching him? Because I feel like that what you're saying about what you look for in a player, isn't that Hamza?
To an extent, but Hamza gave me such whiplash last week. And there seemed to be no method to his madness. You know, somebody who's a messy player with some fire in them, I can get on board for. I can stand. You know, Rachel Riley was always the person who I loved watching on television because she had a point of view, but she was always willing to make the move, I felt like, that was best for her to move forward in the game. And Hamza seems to be like so far beyond that, because he's always looking for what is the biggest move. But then once I say the biggest move, then it's not a big move anymore. So what's the next biggest move? And eventually he like, it's basically like what would happen with Olivia, where he's so bad, he works his way back to the original first move, because now that's all of a sudden the biggest move anymore. It's all ramifications of Big Brother 19 from the USA on this cast cannot be overstated, especially insofar as Hamza goes. The first time I saw him on the feeds, he was talking about Big Brother 19 and all the sheep that just followed along with Paul and how horrible that season was. I've seen other people on the cast repeat that. They do not want to have that to happen to their season. So I think Hamza's always trying to like say, well, what does the audience want? But sometimes he's on what the audience wants, and then he quickly moves off that because he thinks it's expected. It's very, very confusing.
Yeah, that's so interesting, Kirsten, going into, you know, we have this season going on, obviously Big Brother 20. Do you feel like that there has been some sort of tectonic shift in Big Brother where we are not going to see seasons go the way of Big Brother 19? Or do you think that this is an isolated incident?
I mean, I think maybe we'll see a couple of seasons that are a little bit different, but depending on the caliber of player and if there's someone who really takes control, as long as there's a season with only one returning player, we'll see things like that. It just depends on the circumstances.
Do you feel
right?
Like,
I don't think that they necessarily cast bad people last year on Big Brother 19. I think they're just putting Paul in the house. I do know that having talked to people who went to the casting calls this year, that the casting calls appear to be a little bit different. I don't want to oversell it, but it does appear that they're really looking for people who are gamers, like in the Hamza vein. People really want to get in there and make a move. And be ballsy. So I'm hoping for the best for Big Brother 20.
Yeah, I wonder also if we have that situation like in a Big Brother 19 or Big Brother 16, where one person is just so head and shoulders above the rest of the field, whereas if everybody is sort of like of a, you know, close in skill level, that ends up creating more of like this free for all like we have here in the Big Brother Canada 6. So, all right, we see this interesting moment in the show, Kirsten, where Erica and Veronica are talking, and Erica tells us, "I know Veronica is lying to me, but I'm enjoying this." Is like one of those things where it's like an investigation where it's like they know they have her, but that Erica's wearing the wire, and then she's getting Veronica to continue and lie on tape about what she's done. And then maybe some grand jury is going to talk to her at some point. But I thought this was very interesting on Erica's part.
Yeah, I really liked what she said. You know, it's important for me to see how far she's willing to take a lie. That shows, you know, a level of thought that I think is really good in this season. I think Erica's really strong. And that was extremely smart of her to do. But it's also just like, look, Veronica, either lie or don't lie. Like, you have to at least convince yourself if you're going to lie about it. Like, it's infuriating.
Yeah. But then we see Erica also have a conversation with Maddie, and we see Erica, try to feel things out with Maddie, Brent, and Maddie is not thrilled about the prospect of potentially going up on the block. And she is very threatening in the diary room, talking about what she's going to do to Erica. Don't mess with Maddie.
Right. Very threatening in the diary room. Not so threatening to Erica herself. And I felt like that was important. I felt like she walked up to the line. Okay. I felt like she, you know, because she was saying things like, well, this definitely draws a line in the sand. And I'm really disappointed that this is what the result of our relationship is. Are you going to put me on the block? It seemed like she wanted to tell her like, look, you know, you better not come after me, but she didn't. And I was glad for that because I feel like that will behoove her moving forward in the game.
Yeah. It's interesting to me because sometimes where, you know, I'll hear the account of something like this on the live feed update. I think that Taryn and Puya talked about this on Friday, and that it sounded like it went worse for Maddie. And it's hard for me to tell what was the edit and what was sort of a telephone game.
Yeah, well, I can just say overall that the less Maddie talks, the better. I can't. There are plans in place and things that are happening in the house, and it does appear to me that the more she talks, the more that she makes people question her and doubt her. I know that I've seen at least 10 times on Twitter, people from like Cleo and Astina and other people like, Maddie, just shut up, go to bed, because she's just not able to keep her wits about her, and she opens her mouth too much, and it might just be best to be quiet. On the other hand, you have to look at it from her point of view, and if she doesn't think a backdoor option is in place here, then she has to try to save herself. And she, you know, she doesn't want to be like Olivia and just think like, okay, campaigning is above me. So she has to, she wants to go out there and rally some votes. But sometimes it's better, like what happened with Olivia, let other people do that. Let Allie do that for you, or let Paris do that for her. I know Allie isn't working for her, but you know, let other people do that for her.
Yeah, but if she didn't, we'd be pissed. We'd be so mad if she was.
It's a tough line. I agree.
Kirsten, how do you think that Erica handled the HOH nomination process?
I thought it was interesting, especially when she said she wanted to put Marin up as a pawn because he doesn't have connections in the house. And it's like, you can't put that person up as a pawn because there's no reason for people to keep him because they have no connection to him. So I thought that was really interesting. I thought it was interesting how her conversation with Maddie went, where they're both just like kind of dancing around it. And I was like, you know, it would draw a line in the sand. Like, don't want to pit strong women against each other, but neither of them is out now being like, well, let's actually talk game and fix the problem that we have. Right.
Now, ultimately, we're going to have Maddie and Marin go up on the block. Now, Marin, a fellow gate crasher, he gets into the house. Kirsten, do you feel like that you would have worked well with Marin in the house?
I think anyone could work well with Marin. I think socially, Marin is better on accident than most people are on purpose. And it's actually really funny. He's from Edmonton. He knows my brother-in-law's family. And I feel like that would have ended up actually coming up, or I could have been like, oh, you know, like, oh, you're from Edmonton? Do you know these people? And he would have been like, yeah, I do. And that would have been very interesting. I found that out after. I don't think they're like a close connection, but it's just weird. I think I could have worked with either of the gatecrasher men.
Yeah, I think that's probably true. Marin is just a sweet guy, and he is best when he's in puppy dog mode and is just being adorable in the house and not bothering anybody. Johnny seems to be the only person who doesn't really care for him and somehow isn't in his plans whatsoever, but everybody else really seems to get along with Marin.
Yeah, I like Marin a lot, too. That I thought that he ends up on the block here really through not too much fault of his own, and then ends up with Marin and Maddie ending up as the nominees here tonight. And then we will get into everything else coming up in the spoilers in a couple of minutes. Brett, I want to get your take on a tweet today. This was from Global TV, who tweeted out, hi, hope you guys like tonight's episode. The last few days have been eventful, and our team has worked really hard to edit something we're truly proud of. And then we have the clip of, I think this is Mama June, if I believe so. It's like trying to eat Brussels sprouts and she can't do it. That's supposed to be the Big Brother Canada 6 live feeders.
Yeah. I mean, look, I've been on record about the fact that they don't get the feeds up enough. And I feel like they don't pay enough service to the people that kept them on the air, that being the super fans and a lot of people in the super fan community. So it's sort of odd that Global is making a joke about it, because that's the people.
Are they saying that they're giving you the show, but the live feeders don't like it because it's not the show that they want? Is that what the gist of that is?
I mean, maybe. I don't know. I mean, maybe they think we always complain no matter what, and that's not true. We don't always complain no matter what. There have been times where I'm like, oh my God, this is amazing product. This is awesome. You know, like please, more of this, you know? Like, Taryn has been loving this season in general. Yes. Just because there's been no twist and the game has been really complicated. And he's like, please, don't do anything. This is great. Just like, just leave it alone.
Yeah.
But I don't understand why they're going after them. Maybe they're just making an inside joke about it. But I know Big Brother Canada did respond to the tweet. So, yeah.
Yes. Well, and what was the Big Brother Canada response to it? Was what?
They said, delete this.
Yeah. Delete your accounts or delete this or something like that. Yeah.
Well, so hold on. So Global is fighting with Big Brother Canada?
Well, I mean, it's the way they made it seem, but obviously not. Or I mean, if they are, then there ain't going to be no Big Brother Canada 7. I can tell you that.
I'm like fairly certain the same person runs both of those accounts.
All right,
I just
all
like
right.
have this great joy of them just replying to themselves. I think it's hilarious.
Yeah. So I will say that, and the show has not been reflecting at all, you know, what we hear about the live feeds. I thought that tonight did seem like it did a pretty good job. Would you agree, Brent?
Yes, I think tonight did an amicable job of showing us what happened on the show.
No parties,
I'm sorry, what happened
no
on live
dancing.
Yeah, exactly. There's just a little bit of Hasbro playing, but apparently that's a sponsorship thing. I didn't see any Wendy's tonight. Did I miss the Wendy's?
No, wait, what happened
to
the Wendy's?
That's what I thought.
I saw it in the HOH basket, but we didn't see Erica order Wendy's with somebody.
They must have forgot to put the commission check in the mail, so they didn't cut them out.
Yeah,
I don't know. I thought it was pretty well done, and like there was a lot of consternation over the Hinky vote, and Erica also I think maybe realized like, you know, did I really need to win this? I don't know if she realizes how much she didn't need to win that, but she is aware that coming out of the HOH, she may be in some danger, so she really wants to make sure she lines up her week moving forward.
Okay, all right, let's get to some questions here with Kirsten before we get to the live feeds. Jennifer says, Kirsten, since you should be in the Big Brother house right now instead of Plur, who would you have aligned with? Is there anybody else that you feel like that, oh, that's a person that we haven't talked about yet that you would definitely have worked well with?
I really like Allie and I really like Johnny as well. But I mean, there's no such thing as should. There's no such thing as deserve in Big Brother. Let's cut that out, right?
Yes.
But yeah, like I really feel like there was a lot of places. Basically, I feel like Veronica and I are put up against each other because we're very opposite. So anyone Veronica's not working with, I feel like I would work with very well.
Okay. All right. Then this is a question that is from Alyssa. It says, Kirsten, what can you tell us about Mikey? Did he have a devil persona? Okay. So that's an interesting question because we really we don't know a lot about Mikey.
Mikey is hilarious. We had dinner the Thursday night after everything went down, and he was very nice, made sure I got back to the hotel safe, bought me drinks, was just very fun to hang out with.
Oh, well, yeah.
Well, I mean, obviously, I'm just very easy to get on my good side. But no, he was very, very friendly, very, very fun, definitely made some off-color comments and is a little bit shot out of a cannon at all times.
Yes.
But we actually... It was funny because he'd be going like nuts and I was like, calm down. And he actually like was receptive to that. He's really funny. The things he says, maybe not, but overall he was.
Well, I mean, I think they definitely got it right insofar as, I mean, he's at least more of a devil than Marin is. So I like that. The one, honestly, Kirsten, the one thing I could never understand was your casting as the evil side, the devil side, and Veronica as the good side. And Veronica is just, she's just not that. She's got fire. She's messy. She's not somebody who's just going to get along to get along. You saw that in the Hinky vote tonight. She wanted to stir the house up. She wanted people to be nervous. Somebody who's on the, like the angel on the angelic side of things is not like that. And she's definitely not, go ahead.
I mean, I would argue that anyone who is actively applying to get on Big Brother is not going to fit into the angel archetype.
Right.
She didn't.
It's like, okay, oh, we took this person from the convent.
Thank you.
She is. Sister Veronica is here.
Oh, with us.
Would you like to vote Sister Veronica? See if she can break the habit in the Big Brother house.
Oh my God.
Yep. Yeah.
Hashtag Sister Veronica.
Sister Veronica. then you could do it. But I don't know. I don't know what the, well, you know.
Yeah. Well, and it's just tough. Like the thing with me is like, I will say like that bitchy, horrible comment, but then I'll laugh at myself right afterwards. And so it made it just seem like I was like trying to pretend to be a bitch. And it's like after watching my minute and a half clip, I was like, I understand why people didn't vote for this. Like there was only a minute and a half to get to know me, right? They can't show a fully rounded person in that time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you feel like, is there anything you feel like you could, like, do you feel like, is there anything that you could have said or done differently in that period? Or do you feel like that it was sort of the die was cast and there's not anything that you feel like that you could have done?
I don't don't think there was anything more that I could have done than what I was said. Obviously, the footage that was shot was more than a minute and a half worth. And I can't think of anything else I would have done. And I cannot drive myself crazy over that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. You sign up for Big Brother. This is what happens. Mm-hmm. It could happen to you.
Okay. Puya says, Kirsten, what do you think about all the rapping that happens in this house? Would you indulge? Can you freestyle? That's a great question from Puya.
I can certainly not freestyle, but I would argue some of the people freestyling in the house also can't. So
yes. Would you let them stop you?
Yes, I 100% would.
It's a good move. All right, Mr. Rotaro, what letter will Veronica be adding to her name? Can you think of any other letters for Veronica?
Plur. People, Kirsten, just so you know, when people were campaigning to get you or her into the house, and I called her Plur, people got mad at me for that. They're like, oh, you're disrespecting her. Like, I'm like, she calls herself that. Like, that's her thing. It's just a nickname. Yes, like, cover yourself.
And just to reset that stands for peace, love, unity, and respect. Look at the four core tenets.
That's what I think of when I think of Veronica. I don't know about you guys.
Yes. That's her tagline. Yeah. Peace, love, unity, respect.
What's your acronym, Kirsten?
My acronym is PITS. It stands for pizza, ice cream, taco, sushi. I'm going to get that tattooed on me.
Yeah. Okay. What do you think about Marissa winning Big Brother Celebrity?
The last thing I saw from Big Brother Celebrity was Meta World Peace going home. And then immediately after I didn't get on Big Brother Canada, I was like, who won Big Brother Celebrity? What happened? And they told me that my baby Ross Matthews lost to Marissa, and I haven't watched it yet. I can't. I'm too sad.
Pits.
Yeah. Two seasons in a row. Bitter jury. Mm.
All right. And Sean Evans will say, Kirsten, if you and Mikey got in the house, what would your cover story have been? All right. So that's an interesting question. So we saw the people that got into the house and they're like, okay, guess what? You can't say that you got voted in and now you have to come up with a story. Do you know what you would have done in that situation?
I had been thinking about it for days. Because obviously you keep track of dates, and all of a sudden I was like, well, it's March 5th. I know they normally move in the Saturday before. So I kind of had an inkling. And so I was thinking, if they let you just go in through the front door, you just have to do what Allison did and be like, isn't it move-in day? I don't understand. But because they went in through the diary room, I feel like you have to be like, we thought it was move-in day. We got up on stage. And she told us we were late and sent us in. Like, what is going on? Like, did somebody quit? Like, what is happening? Something like that. I know talking to Mikey, he would have wanted to go and be like, we're the devils and we have a week of safety and just see what happens if you try to get us out. But I would have tried to temper that a little bit and been like, no, like, we need to reel it in. We need to try and make it as believable as possible. It certainly would not have been that there was a contest from the audience, because obviously everybody who gets on the show goes through the same casting process, and it just doesn't make any sense that two people just don't have to pass the certain requirements that everybody else did. Like, it's like, oh yeah, and we had this Big Brother Canada double bag, and they already had our initials on it, and we had all of our stuff for 3 months just magically ready to, it just,
yeah.
That one got me.
That would have been messy too, Brent. You would have liked that.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, Mikey would be messy.
Yeah, I agree.
So would I. Let's be real.
Yeah, I think you would have too. Yeah.
All right. What's this? We have a. I can't add that. I have the Google Hangout controls on the top of that. But Brent, can you make out what that tweet says?
Yeah, it's from Ren Einsburn saying, one lucky gay showing Olivia some love. Finally, at Kirsten said what, at Rob Sesternino, and a great picture of Olivia. I can't see what's at the bottom, though, but it's a great picture of Olivia giving face, which she's good at doing.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. We are going to get to talking about the live feeds here in just a moment. Of course, we've got so much more coming up. Taryn Armstrong and I are both going to be in Reno, Nevada for Run It Up Reno. Taryn is getting in there tonight. I'll be there tomorrow. So hopefully who knows? Taryn is going to have the live shows going on all week, and maybe our paths might cross on one of those. And then, of course, Taryn will have his update after the double eviction coming up on Thursday. So a very exciting week for Big Brother Canada 6. And then, of course, be sure to be on the lookout for Taryn's live feed updates from Reno, Nevada this week. And with that, let's get to talking about fun talking about the scores for Big Brother Canada 6 coming up.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler
warning.
A spoiler
warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
Yes. Okay. What should my acronym be? Should be, let's see, coffee.
Can we make our work for you, but just with different words? Plaid, live feed update.
No, if plaid should be what it stands for, and then we have to figure out what it is. So podcast.
Oh, that's so many letters.
Yeah.
We'll come up with it. Okay. All right. So what an eventful day on the Big Brother live feeds, Brent.
Yes, they were a little late coming back, maybe like 3 hours coming back after the veto ceremony. So bad Big Brother Canada. But because, you know, we're never going to get to see most of that stuff. So I don't know why they try to hide it from us. Anyway, whatever. I'm not going to complain about it. I mean, that's just what I do.
I'm not going to complain, but
I know, right? Look, the point being that the veto was obviously, if you've been following the live feeds with Taryn Armstrong, the veto was won by Erica, who is the current head of household. She has been wanting to backdoor Veronica because of the lie and continuing to lie, and it's been irritating her. Plus, she's a bit of a comp beast. There are other people that don't want her in the house. Erica maybe is aware of the fact that this may be not the best move for her, considering if she gets rid of Veronica, who is a comp beast and a strong chick, who's the next biggest comp beast who's a strong chick? Obviously, that's Erica. But she wants to know that if she makes the move, she has the support of the house behind her 100%. So today at the veto ceremony, she did indeed use the veto on Maddie. Maddie didn't even know it was coming. Is she just like out of the blue, at least in so far as Maddie's perspective, was taken down off the block. Veronica was backdoored, and it's the two gate crashers on the block come Thursday night in the first part of the double eviction, Rob.
Okay. All right. The two angels are sitting up on the block. Now, Brent, how did Veronica handle going up on the block today? Because I know everybody was sort of anticipating fireworks.
Well, you know, we missed the first 3 hours, but when it did finally come back, not well, but she did better than I thought. She didn't immediately like declare Erica her next target. I think, you know, there are 10 people voting this week. So potentially Erica could be a tie breaking vote. So I think that's good that she didn't immediately eliminate that possibility. She is still trying to work it out in her head. I mean, it was a mix of sadness and whining and crying and anger and denial. All of these things were coming into play. She, I think, has been irritating some people online because she's been going to Erica, of all people, to try to campaign when, you know, Erica may not even be voting this week. You need to really... Kayla and Derek are the people, or maybe even Hams. Those are the people. Because here's the thing. I can find 5 votes. It's the same problem Jesse had. I can find 5 votes for her to stay. I really have trouble finding a 6th vote because right now, Kayla's been playing great this week, by the way. Kayla and Derek, Olivia and Allie, plus Hamza, because he's not going to vote against Marin, are the 5 people who are voting to evict Veronica at this point, most likely. And with Erica's tie-breaking vote, that's enough to send Plur out of the house. So she's got some work to do.
Okay. All right. So, Kirsten, here we are. But 2 weeks into... the gate crashers getting into the house. Here they sit on the block this week. Take us through, what is your reaction to seeing the gate crashers up there? Do you feel like that they were just put into a bad spot here? Or do you feel like that it was just, it's been, it's karma for them. What's your take on this?
Well, I mean, coming in late is definitely a disadvantage, especially coming in when the house wasn't really that split at the time, where there's no one like scrambling for the numbers. That's definitely a tough spot to come into. But I also feel like neither of them have really worked that hard to get out of that tough spot and work into a good spot and actively, you know, take control of their destiny. Veronica was in a good spot last week, but then she played herself out of it. And it's hard to watch, but I mean, I don't think it's karma. Like, I don't think that really exists in Big Brother.
Well, I'll go ahead and say it. I do think it was karma, because she made a bad move with the hinky vote and came back to bite her in the butt. I mean, I was the person who said last week, if Maddie was the person who was responsible for stopping the evict Jesse plan in its tracks, she didn't do it. And I thought she was going to end up on the block this week. And she did, very nearly could have gone home if the veto goes a different way, or if Veronica's chip comes out of the bag and she gets to play in the veto competition. So, I mean, like, I believe in Big Brother karma in the house. And given the messiness of Veronica's game and her unwillingness to stick to a narrative insofar as the hinky vote goes, and the fact that she has been sort of very fluid about her allegiances in the house and who can trust her at this point. Look, the thing, Rob, that you're not getting, or maybe you are getting it, is her continued willingness to lie about the hinky vote brings everything else into question. It's like, well, if she's continuing to lie to my face about the hinky vote, what else is she lying about? Like, she's willing to take this lie so far.
She might not have even won a fan vote to get in the house.
Right? Yeah, that she finally was talking about that on the live feed today, insofar as her own actions have led her to this point. Her overestimation of her game abilities, her social place in the house, and the vote to evict Olivia last week are all of the reasons why she's up on the block.
Brent, how many people in the house know? Is just like a well-known, everybody knows that she is the hinky vote and she continues to lie about it?
Yeah. It's like, she's the last one to get off the train. Like, she should, once she realized,
pulling her aside and like, everybody knows. I think the jig is up.
She has no one close enough to her that cares enough to be like, hey, everybody knows, right?
Will is close enough to her, but he's a terrible player himself. I love Will, but he's terrible. He thinks he's a great player, and he's just not. He had one good move last week, which I didn't even think was in his best interest, but he made it. I don't see him making the finals, but you know, we'll see.
Okay, Kirsten, do you feel like it could the way out of this be for Veronica to come clean to everybody? Hey, family meeting, guys. All right, I was the hinky vote. Sorry, I didn't know what I was doing. I made a mistake. I want to stay.
I feel like that was something she should have done like 2 days ago. I feel like it could be too little too late, but it could also work. Like, it's still Monday. There's tons of time for things to flip around, but it just seemed late to be doing that. And I also feel like Veronica will have a family meeting when she's safe for the week and there's no risk to her, but I feel like she probably won't now, but maybe she will. I don't know her.
Yeah.
she's sort of in denial too about the fact that she's going home, because there are people in the house like Derek and Kayla who will remember. I don't know if you remember. Well, maybe I'm sure if you have been on a show with Taryn, Rob, but there was an alliance that was made called Fives Company, and they were a part of that with Will and Veronica and I think Hamza. And if that's still in effect, then she has the votes to stay. But it's not in effect. Actually, Derek and Kayla are one of the reasons why she's up on the block being backdoored. So they're not really aware of that at this point.
How about Marin on the block? How's he reacting to all this, Brent?
He's been chill. I mean, he's been really cool insofar as I can tell. Here's the thing. He doesn't want to go home. He's been trying to make friends with everybody, be cool. I agree very much with what Kirsten said, that he's a good player by accident. He's just one of these people that sort of gets along to get along kind of guys. And in a house full of snakes, that kind of person is very, very welcome.
I want to also add that I watched on Thursday night, you and Taryn were live with Godfrey, and there was some question about when Marin was dancing to the iPod, was he listening? Were those the real songs he was listening to? I can confirm, definitely not, because like the third or fourth song was the song that they play over when their video goes up in the HOH room. So that was definitely stock Big Brother Canada music cues that we heard Maren listening to. On the show, whatever he was listening to, that was not what we were hearing.
Yeah, I was never convinced of that in the first place, but I liked that they tried. It was very cute.
Yes, yes. All right. So, Kirsten, I want. So we have a punishment going on in the Big Brother Canada house today as well. The house guests are today. What's the house? The whole house is on slop.
Yep. The whole ass is on slop.
Okay.
Because they don't listen to Big Brother when they're told to get up in the morning, and they basically just tell Big Brother to F off. So go ahead, Kirsten.
Well, Big Brother Canada does this around this time every year. Like, this isn't new. They did this last year. We had Cassandra like twirling around that she's so happy everyone's on slop. And with season 3, we had JP crying because he felt bad for telling Big Brother to F off. Like, this is not new.
I forgot about that. Yes, yeah, karma's a bitch. I told you, it's real.
Yes. Didn't we get this also when Rochelle ate the
fuzzy peach. On her birthday.
Was it the whole house or was it just, it was the whole house?
And then she ate the fuzzy peach.
Oh, yeah. I hated that. Oh, my God.
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
on her birthday.
Yes. Because there's been some speculation that there was, because it was a lack of respect. But Kirsten, you suspect that you feel like this is like built in?
I think it's both. I mean, I think it's kind of, it's been a few weeks. They're adults. They don't want to be told what to do. Like, that can be very frustrating and annoying. And then it just happens to be really close to April Fool's. So then Big Brother can be like, haha, nobody actually did anything that wrong.
Yeah,
I guess. It's like a moment on the show. I don't know. They've done it every single year, though, right?
Yeah, but it's a little early for April Fool's. I will say that Doomed in the chat is just like, you know, please, like, this is planned every year they do this. So, I mean, it's fair. They do stuff like this all the time. So, you know what? You just got to expect and roll with the punches.
Yeah. Okay. I still get great joy watching them all eat slop and have cold showers. And I'm like, well, at least I'm not having cold showers.
Yeah, I saw Johnny crying, so that was good.
Yeah.
Oh, Johnny.
Do the house guests suspect that somebody did something wrong, Brent?
No, I think as far as I can tell, they bought the excuse that you know, we didn't see Big Brother tell them anything, so we're going off of what the house guests are saying. But as far as I can tell, they just think that they need to just do a little bit better job of listening to Big Brother when Big Brother tells them something. For instance, when Big Brother tells you to stop talking about production, Veronica, stop talking about it.
Don't.
So there was a clip that was shared today that Veronica blatantly not just talking about production, but I was under the impression that the gatecrashers were not allowed to discuss the circumstances of them getting into the house by penalty of instant eviction. Brent, did I hear that incorrectly?
I think you're mixing that up with something else, like when Allie got the power of veto in season 2 or there was no instant eviction. They're threatening you, I think. And I don't think that Veronica actually broke the rule, because they just said you can't tell them that you got voted in. So she said that she was looking at Kirsten and she's looking at her and looking at her body and she looks a little thick. So she's like, well, I'm obviously getting in, not this bitch.
I just would like to say, we were in a hallway and we were not supposed to be looking at each other. I'm sitting there like looking at the ground. And also there was six people between us. So I don't really know. All I could see was Mikey's suit out of the corner of my eye, but whatever, she saw enough to get a.
Yeah, she was basically shading Kirsten in the house to Will today, saying that, you know, we were up on the stage and there was this girl there, and I thought she's scared shitless, so there's no way she's getting in. I'm like, of course, I tweeted like, you know, she's scared shitless because this is her life's dream, and you just got off the turnip truck, so you know,
that's the reason why
she cares. Oh my God,
the turnip for you.
I was certainly scared. That is an accurate statement.
They need to get that chalkboard in the house. She needs to write peace, love, unity, respect 500 times. We got to remember, get back to the core mantra. She's drifting.
Yeah, the, The more she talks, the more I'm like, oh, yeah. I believed in you last week. And then you go and just prove my initial interpretation of you right. Like, you're really not that fun, and I'm not here for you. So, whatever.
Yeah.
You're about to be evicted unless something changes. She needs to work on Hamza's vote. Hamza or Derek and Kayla. That's the two paths for her to get out of this jam, I think, because otherwise she's going home.
Yeah. Okay. Let's get back to some more questions here. And let's go to Stacked in Florida. Kirsten, how are you enjoying your fortune telling, proving correctly, seeing the downfall of Victoria? Veronica. Now, did you predict this, Kirsten?
No. Okay. So what this is about is Olivia Nope on Twitter does tarot card readings about the Big Brother players every year, and they're often eerily accurate. I replied to them talking about it and was like, oh, just read mine. And it was something like, it talks about defeat and battle, but watching your enemy be vanquished. And this was on like Friday, maybe, I think this happened, maybe Thursday. So it's interesting that within a week, the person who did, I guess, defeat me in battle is now on the block looking like she's going to go home.
Yes.
And it's spooky. Like, it's creepy how accurate the tarot cards were.
Yes.
So creepy.
That if she goes home on Thursday, will you reach out? Will you two then become close friends, do you think?
I mean, I'll reach out and I'll be like, hey, like, I feel like not many people have been in pregame sequester as long as we have. So I feel like I'll talk to her. I'll give it a chance. Like, I don't know her. I don't love when someone that talks about my body specifically in a negative way, but yeah, she's in the house. That's what people do. I'll give her a chance.
Okay. All right. Well, you're a better person than most, Kirsten.
And just to be clear, Kirsten, because I don't think I even know the full story on this. When you were in sequester, did you think you were on the show already, or were you aware that you were definitely not guaranteed a spot?
We knew there was a vote in Element. Like, there is footage of me saying, if I don't get on this season, you're not going to want to deal with me. So right. you can take from that what you will.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Moving on.
All right. Jennifer says, who is it most in danger for the double eviction? Of course, yes. That this is the Veronica versus Marin is only the first course this Thursday night, whereas somebody else is going home. It sounded from the today's update that Taryn did with Matt, it seems like almost like the house is moving with one eye towards Thursday, Brent.
Yeah, they definitely sense a double eviction is coming. I think that Ryan is definitely a possibility, but I also don't really believe that once you win HOH, you're really going to say, okay, I want to evict Ryan. I mean, if it's somebody with no cojones whatsoever, then I feel like maybe he's a possible evictee. But if it's somebody like Will, who gets screwed over by Kayla and Derek this week, I could see him putting them up. I could see Hamza putting the showmance up. I think that there are multiple people that could end up on the block in sort of a random fashion where maybe you don't see it coming. I mean, I can ask the chat room, but I really do feel like there are at least 6 or 7 people who I could see ending up on the block, depending on who wins HOH.
Okay.
It could be anyone.
All right. Kirsten, you've predicted the future before. Okay. So, so who is going home on Thursday?
I'm so stressed. Like, I feel like we never get what we want, but I could see a Johnny HOH with Marin going home. And I know that that's not what we want and it's not exciting or entertaining, but I mean, I could see that happening.
I do think that. Go ahead.
What do we want?
I don't know.
Honestly,
we want Ryan to go home. I know a lot of people want. I mean, that would be a terrible double eviction, but it would be good because a lot of people don't like him in the house specifically. I just want somebody boring to go home. And right now, the people who aren't giving it to me, probably Marin. I would be okay with him. He's a sweet guy, but he's not really doing much for me TV-wise or feed-wise. I know that Erica may be in danger. Will may be in danger. Derek, possibly. I always thought that Kayla would be evicted over Derek, but Kayla's put in some really good work. So maybe if the showmance does go up, I feel like Derek might be in danger now. So I don't know.
Yeah. And I feel like Kayla would do well in the type of veto that BB Ken normally does in a double eviction as well. I could see her saving herself.
Brent, how do the house guests suss out that a double eviction is coming? Do they just say like, oh, we're due?
I think so. I have to say that I have been struck by the certainty of them that they know a double eviction is coming. Maybe the chat room can illuminate me, but I don't know how they know it's coming because I didn't really hear any talk about it much the previous week. I know this is the fourth week and usually, but I always thought they do a double eviction where, like, maybe this is USA where the second part of the double eviction is the first jury person. So maybe the chat room can tell me, but I don't know how they seem to be certain that there's a double eviction coming. It may just be where somebody's mentioned it and it's become a thing and now everybody just assumes it and they happen to be right this time.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Let's get back to your questions here today.
Oh, and by the way, really quickly, while you look for that question, I just want to tell everybody who is paying attention to the show, if you've never watched Big Brother Canada before, Big Brother tapes all of their eviction episodes, including the double eviction. It is not live. So if you don't want to know, like me, what happens during the double eviction, make sure you get off social media at about, like, say, 4:30 and don't look. Otherwise, you're going to be spoiled insofar as what happened during the double eviction, and you won't be able to watch it and enjoy it like I want to.
Hey, what will you do that day, Brent?
Spoilers. Sorry, what'd you say, Rob?
What will you do that day, Brent? You will sleep until the time.
I often sleep because the feeds are down, and I just do other stuff. And you know, I refuse to open Twitter, or like I talk to people who I know don't follow Big Brother Canada, and just privately, you know. So yeah, okay. I was talking about skating with my friend on Twitter. We were just talking about the World Figure Skating Championships happened. I don't know if you know Rob, but
I did.
It was
not
a big
know.
Deal. Okay.
I did not know.
Well, I guess ice skating will not be the ironclad.
Yes.
All right. This is from Fred, who says, Carson, are you going to apply for BB Can 7, perhaps under a different name if they will? Oh, that's a good idea.
Right.
Yeah, I'm going to actually stand on my boyfriend's shoulders and we're going to wear a trench coat and apply as one person. a really tall person.
Yes. Okay. This could be good.
I have no idea if I'm allowed to apply or not, but I will probably send in a video anyways because that's just me.
Yep. Do you feel like that if Veronica goes out on Thursday, do you feel like does that impact anything in terms of your status? Like, do you feel like that it was like, oh, she really flamed out, that we should, that do you think that changes anybody's opinion in terms of, like, or does that have no bearing whatsoever on you?
I mean, I don't think people were voting Veronica in thinking she was going to be some sort of game mastermind and win Big Brother just based on what the preseason stuff was that I've seen. I think people, or some people, are already changing their opinion. But at the end of the day, like, it really doesn't, it doesn't matter. Like,
yeah, I don't think it matters. I think I agree with Kirsten that nobody expected her to be a mastermind. They thought she was cannon fodder. That's what she was, Rob. She was brought in as cannon fodder. Somebody who,
the voters or production?
A lot of the voters. Look, I've talked to a lot of people who did not vote for Kirsten, not anybody in the rap community, obviously. But I have corresponded with people who do not vote for her. And they said they just thought that Veronica was more fun. They thought that she would be messier. And she has proven to be like that. The 3 to 4 weeks that we've gotten of her on the feeds, I mean, I'm sure that they would submit that, you know what, we wouldn't have got that from Kirsten. And maybe,
but you would have gotten half as messy for twice as long.
I think you would have given that to them, but they don't know that because they don't know you like I do. So there you go.
Kirsten,
have you been out in public cursing your fellow Canadians?
Yeah, I like to just find as many Canadians as possible. It's really easy because nobody knows who I am. And I could just be like, how dare you? Should have voted more. Yeah. I can't believe you. No, just no. Obviously,
damn casuals.
How dare you guys? Come on. No, it's okay. I don't even know.
Yeah.
What is it?
Okay. This is a question from Antasis. What would you advise Maddie if you had 10 seconds?
10 seconds. Maddie, you need to calm down. You need to think about people's incentives and you need to appeal to their emotions.
Okay. She can be a little cold sometimes, and maybe doesn't realize it. I feel like that she could use a little bit more warmth. Like, let her walls down, let people in.
She just needs a ride or die.
Yeah, she needs somebody she can trust. I agree.
That was me. Oh, Maddie. Oh, we could have been so good.
Could have been a contender.
Could have been a contender.
Okay. Stacked wants to know, should Erica just go for comp wins to get the record? Because she isn't winning the whole thing. Thinking of Janelle and James Ryan. I mean, is Erica DOA, Brent?
I mean, she's, first I would say no. I think that the game is very fluid and there are a lot of targets in the house right now. I think she's up there, though. She didn't do herself any favors by winning this week and winning the veto. I mean, I don't, you know, I think maybe I'm hoping against hope that she isn't, because I find her, she, again, I've said this before, out of everybody in the cast, she is the person who I am most impressed by, who I thought coming into the cast didn't give an F, didn't care about the show, really wasn't going to be that great of a player, wasn't able to form social bonds. But she has proven me to be a complete idiot, as is often the case, because she is a bright light in the house and I'm so here for her. And then her watching her, seen the video of her girlfriend Shay. Oh, that was just so heartwarming. I stand her even more. Like the people, I'm so here for her right now. She's just great.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
So I don't know what the answer is to the question. Sure, go out there and win everything. I know that there are some people who are bitching about the fact that they're doing Erica's dirty work, namely Paris, maybe Johnny a little bit. Johnny, this is the first week Johnny's not getting his way. He really wanted Marin to be evicted. He did not want Veronica to be evicted. But he does see that the path for Veronica staying is closing, and closing fast. So he got on the train real fast.
Got out of there. As far
as Erica's side of the house thinks and is supporting them. Although Erica did tell him earlier today that he can vote however he wants, because she thought that the votes were already locked up. Now there's some conversations being had, and Johnny came to her and said, hey, you know, if people come to me and say, would you be willing to keep Veronica? What should I say? She's like, well, I would prefer you vote to keep her. He's like, but we were just, you just told me that I could vote any way I want. Like, so now that, see, Erica's power is gone now. So people are being a little bit more real with her. So I'm interested to see how this week plays out.
Okay. All right. And then what does Kristen think of Ryan's gameplay from Demetrius?
Ryan is really good at telling people what they're doing wrong in Big Brother, but not so great at telling himself the same thing.
Yeah, really. I was so not here for his couch conversation with Kayla.
Well, I met Ryan at an open call for BB Can 4.
You like him?
No comment.
No. I enjoy him on the shows, but I'm not sitting there watching him on the live feeds all day.
He's just a little bit of a know-it-all, and
what's wrong with that?
I know.
I saw a tweet, I think from Sarah Hanlon today, that was like, Ryan is who they invented. It's not what you said, it's how you said it for. And I think that sums it up
okay. Pretty
well.
All right. This is from Ren. Would Kirsten have talked to the live feeders like Maddie and Paris? Would you have done that?
I mean, I talk to myself anyways. I would have been talking to the cameras all the time.
Yeah. She would have been. You would have been like the number one person going to the camera going like, you know, hey.
Hey, this is who won the veto, guy. Right.
Thank you. Yes, exactly.
I know what you want to know.
Who would have really gotten under your skin besides Ryan?
Oh, I don't even know. Honestly, like, I really like almost everybody.
So. Everybody's pretty likable in the house. I do find Will irritating at times. And he's cute, but I find him irritating.
I don't know. Hamza, doing the dishes is who would be annoying to me.
Yeah, I find Hamza exhausting, but I'm not sure I would find him that way in the house. So yeah.
Kirsten, what else have you been itching to say about this season or this whole experience?
Just, you know, a lot of people I've seen have been tweeting, and maybe it's just the people who are tweeting at me that, you know, they're giving up, they're not going to watch the show, whatever. Don't give up on Big Brother Canada. It's still a good show. Even the worst Big Brother is still decent. And this is by far not the worst Big Brother. OTT? Hey.
Yeah, Big Brother OTT was freaking great.
Like, Brent got what he wanted. He loves OTT.
That was great. I'm sorry. I loved OTT.
Mm-hmm.
And it had one of the best female alliances in the history of reality television in the Ball Smashers. Sorry. God damn it. Morgan's going to come for me. Yeah, sorry.
Oh, no.
I'm here for him.
Okay.
Yeah, just don't give up. Keep watching. If I can watch it after this, you guys can watch it too. So watch it.
Okay. Kirsten, have you thought about, would you play Sequester?
I don't. I think I kind of had my heart set on the real thing. No offense to people who play Sequester.
No offense. I believe that Hamza played Sequester, right, Brent?
Yes, he did. Badly.
Didn't he? Wasn't he the second?
Huh? What'd you say, Kirsten?
Wasn't he the second boot when he was on?
He was an early boot. I know he didn't play well. And some people said he was repeating his experience in the Big Brother house. And he's already done better than he did on Sequester. So we'll see. He's probably going to be in it for the long haul. I don't know. I know people are thinking about Hamza as a later target down the line. But whenever I hear them talk about Hamza, it's always in context of, well, I'd rather evict so-and-so and so-and-so and then maybe Hamza. So, you know, he's the third or fourth target on everybody's list. And I feel like he's going to be here for a while.
Okay. Unless he goes out on Thursday. Because anybody could.
Hopefully not.
Who knows?
Yeah, I hope not.
I can see him going up to somebody. See, the thing that he might do, like in a double eviction, it's so fast moving. I can see him going up to everyone's HOH and saying, you know, hey, put me up on the block. Put me up on the block. And then he gets put up on the block and maybe like the votes just really gel fast and he doesn't win the veto and all of a sudden he's out. I mean, I could see that happening.
Well, the thing that would really be crazy is, you know, you be on the edge of your seat if Hamza wins the HOH. And then it's like, all right, now it's a live show. He's on the HOH. What is he going to do? Like,
He'll put up the showmance. I feel
well,
like
that's what you think he would do. But what
that's
would
true.
Really
that's
do?
True. But now if he said he's already told people that today. So, you know, now that he's put it out in the universe, it might not be a big move to him anymore. Yeah. If he's expected to do that.
Like, imagine like the crowd, like sort of like doesn't like give him the reaction he wants on the live show. And then he has the chance with the veto. And then what will he do?
Yeah, he's like, what are they saying? Like, should I use
it? He's like on The Price is Right of like, what do I do? Four.
Yeah. 45,000. No, lower. Wait. Let me change it.
Okay. Very, very, very exciting stuff anyway. But, Kirsten, I still can't believe that this is how it turned out.
Thumbs the brakes.
Yeah. That I wish there was more that, you know, that I could have done on my end and somehow, you know, helped make this happen for you. And, you know, So I'm disappointed that we couldn't make this happen for you, but at least their loss is our gain to have you here with us.
Oh, you're gonna make me cry, Rob. You're so nice.
I wish that I was sort of torn about trying to really just, direct as much, of, you know, whatever voice I have to try to help, but I didn't want to like antagonize people who felt like it was unfair for you. And so I have a lot of second thoughts of how I could have, done this better for you.
Yeah, Kirsten, I have to, Kirsten, just really quickly that during one of our shows, you know, Rob texted me and said, hey, you know, don't pimp Kirsten too much. I don't want it to seem like we're putting our thumb on the scale to try to get her in the house. So he was really, really torn about how to treat this.
We should have gone crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I'm not way too. The one thing I didn't anticipate was honestly, and I can just tell some people out there who are like, felt like this to go to hell, because honestly, that's how I feel. I did not anticipate the backlash to our community, because I feel like our community is really great. Rob is a podcast community. He's been really positive in my life, meeting other people, other super fans who enjoy reality television, and to see people really like irrationally vote against that was something I could not have predicted and still cannot explain.
What are you going to do?
Well, it's a wake up call, right? The people on Twitter, we're not the only people watching, and we don't have as much say as we think we do.
Yeah, don't get me talking about it. I've already bitched about it enough. Right. I mean, I really have. I, you know, it's like, whatever.
Like, it's okay. It's okay, guys. Like, obviously, I'd rather be there, but like, shit happens. It's okay. Don't beat yourself up over it. I'm not beating myself up over it. If anyone out there is angry about it, well, it's your fault for not voting more. So goodbye.
All right. Well, let's talk about what's coming up here, because we got a lot of stuff. News AF. Scott St. Pierre is on the ball today. That he's already got up to. We did a Monday edition of News AF, talked about sliced ketchup and more. Fun News AF today with Danny. and Tyson. That's already up on robisawebsite.com. And then, of course, tomorrow, we don't, assuming Taryn got into Reno, okay, I think he was going to get in there tonight and watch his social media, because he'll let you know what's going on tomorrow on the Big Brother live feed update. Of course, the podcast feed is ready to go. And then, oh, the Big Brother, the LFC roundtable doesn't miss a beat, even with Taryn on the road, Brent.
I was checking my phone. I thought I had hired somebody to hijack his plane. I don't understand how he's still
don't say that.
There.
Don't say that. Okay.
Oh my God.
Disavow. Disavow.
Disavow. Just a joke, people. Just no, a joke.
I really enjoy the LFC roundtable. Very fun. I like I like that the buying and the selling of the. I don't know if I quite follow exactly how it works. But
I campaigned for them to change it, but because like obviously I'm gonna sell Veronica because she's about to ready, well, maybe likely to go home. But the one thing we can't predict is a double eviction. That's the thing. So something's gonna happen at the double eviction, and we're gonna have to put our money on the line for it. So we'll see. Yeah.
I think you should buy more Veronica.
I gotta buy, well, people have been telling me Melissa bought Jesse and he went home. I bought Veronica and now she's probably going home. So people are like, please buy Ryan stock at the round table. So
see, I would love to see there be some sort of a price structure. Is there like a Taryn talks up Johnny, like Johnny's stock should be like much more expensive to buy. And I feel like that there needs to be, I know it's you like the simple game that, but I feel like that there should be some sort of a, like an index that gets created.
It's because I told him like he should be the host, like he should be the host deciding stuff, and then we and then other people play along. But like, he wanted Taryn to play. He wants to play
his pricing index of like Taryn has got Johnny stock up to $70, but Olivia's stock is like $2. It's like
bye.
Yeah, I'm going all in on I'm putting a hundred LFC bucks on Olivia.
And people never understand that when I say stuff like buy or sell. It's like, if you never watched Kramer, like a Mad Money on CNBC, he always hits the button. Mm-hmm. You guys don't know what I'm talking about. Like, enlighten your world a little bit. Watch a little CNBC sometime. Come on. Anyway,
I just want to know, how do you
CNBC?
How do you win the LFC stock market? Like
by having the most shares of the winning contestant at the end.
Okay.
Okay.
That's one of the stock market words.
All right.
And then still much more. The Survivor Know-It-Alls, minus Stephen Fishback, will be live on Wednesday night. We'll be in Reno, Nevada. Got a great show there. Who knows? You might see Taryn there. You might see Taryn on the live show.
Likely.
Yes. And maybe Kevin Martin also. Kevin Martin, that I have to give him, so that he's like a under the radar RHAP fan. He listens to a lot of the Survivor podcasts. I'm always impressed when I see him, and he's talking about something from one of the podcasts. Like, I can't believe you listened to that.
He's doing great. And he's like really impressed me insofar as his poker playing abilities. When he went in the house initially, I know he was a poker player and they sold him as that, but I feel like he was a little bit more amateur than maybe what he is now. Now he's really evolved to a really professional point and is able to monetize his abilities in poker.
Kirsten, don't you remember when Brent was saying that Karen is a way better poker player than Kevin?
She may be.
Did that really happen?
Yeah.
I think I blocked that out. But on the topic of that Kevin Martin, I went for drinks with him when I first got back to town, and a couple of other Ashley Wood and Peely, and he was really excited to see you in Reno. That came up. So
yes, he's a great guy. Speaking of Karen, though, I thought that she was so sweet about everything. She was a big supporter of you. I'm sure you know, but she was on Twitter the whole campaign talking about how she wants to. I'm trying to get her on one of these Monday night shows. I actually talked to her on the phone last week,
I must be on with you because Karen, I pray she has the same setup. When I did a podcast with her, on her website or whatever she has. And it's like she's HOH because she's in the chair and the camera's like up here. Mm-hmm. So she's like looking up at you.
We
you know,
her it's on a Sunday night during Big Brother.
She's great. I mean, man, I love Karen, man.
I was going to say, can I come on when Karen's on?
She's great.
She wants to watch the show with you. She wants to hang out with you.
Well, she lives in the same town as my family. So if I get back there during the season, I'll go say hi.
She said, you just got to give me a Sunday, a Monday night when I can get there, and we'll do it.
All right.
Of course, you can become a patron of Rob as a podcast as well. Rob's website.com/patron for even more stuff behind the scenes. I think in the last 4 days, I think I've done 5 hours of patron podcasts. So you could check.
Hardest working man in show business.
You know, take a nap, Rob. Come on.
Show business adjacent, really. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you could call this. I see that Matt Ligori in the chat room. That's don't get under my skin and say, is this impression this impression? Okay. All right. Of course. And then also the other big thing coming up is that Kirsten is going to be on another Rob's podcast, really going through the RHAP car wash, appearing on all the shows. That is going to be on the Taryn show coming tomorrow.
Yes, get ready for a takeover. It's Kirsten Week.
Yes, Kirsten Week. Now, can you give us a tease in terms of what you're going to talk about with Taryn on the Taryn show?
There is a large amount of topics that were covered. Taryn and I just jumped right into it. It is scattered. It is a bit of a hot mess, but I think that you'll probably enjoy it. And if you don't enjoy it, that's fine too, but it's there was a lot. It basically, we'd been talking for about 40 minutes and Taryn was like, oh, we have to introduce ourselves. Mm-hmm. I think it's a good one. Yeah. Okay. It's like a good conversation.
Were you more of a mess than Rennie on the Taryn show?
I don't know what mess scale you're on. Nobody else guessed it on this episode, unfortunately, but you know, maybe next time, maybe Kirsten part two.
Okay. Check that out. And then of course, that Taryn is going to also have the exit interviews from the Double Eviction coming up on Thursday. I believe actually coming Thursday night this week because of the Good Friday holiday. I caught up on a bunch of the live feed updates today. I was very impressed that Jesse knew who I was. I would have bet $10,000. No chance.
I was not aware of that. So now I have to go listen to the exit interview.
he said at the end, hey, I was like the third one out. That was like the same as Rob on Survivor All Stars. That is the fourth one out, Jesse.
Fourth one. A quick count.
Yes, that counts. Okay. All right. Thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre. Oh, of course, follow Kirsten on Twitter. Unless you're a hater, then don't. Then just skip it.
No, you can follow me too. It's fine.
Okay. You don't care. You're there for the numbers.
Yeah, it's a numbers game. All I want is that free FabFitFun box. I'm just kidding. Right. Stop. No, just kidding.
All right. At Kirsten said what? Of course, yes. Brent is at One Lucky Gay. And then hope to see a bunch of you guys out in Reno, Nevada this week. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.